This is the Top 25 Rundown. And here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening and welcome to the Top 25 Rundown, presented by the Sportscast. Today is October 11, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch.tv, and Apple Podcasts. If you are on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. We are also on DAB Digital Radio. You can listen to us on your speaker, smart speaker, play Sportscast. Also visit us on the sportscast.net. Also follow us on Twitter at the Sportscast1. And check out our app, the Sportscast, in the iOS App Store. Hello, my name is Alan West. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown. Later on, I hope to be joined by Tyler Turner, Bob Alves, and may have another special guest as well. We'll see what happens. But first of all, since I have beaten the other guys on here, I wanted to go back because last week there was one story that was too important not to talk about. Actually, right now we have Mr. Tyler Turner. We'll do these picks real quick for this week, so that way you can do what you got to do. We got Syracuse going against Florida State. Florida State is the favorite at 17.5 points.
Okay, Syracuse versus Florida State, 17.5 point favorite. Syracuse didn't look very good last weekend. 17.5 is pretty significant. It's at Florida State. I'm going to go Florida State.
I agree. I think that's going to be too hard for them to go past. Then we have number two, Michigan, going against Indiana. Michigan's a 33.5 point favorite. I think Michigan's going to run with it because Indiana has not had a very good year thus far, and Michigan's been blowing out every team they played.
Yeah, Indiana. What is Indiana's record for the year, actually?
2-3.
2-3. They actually did not play Ohio State that bad. They have a decent defense. They actually only lost by 20 to Ohio State, and they only lost by 7 to Louisville. And that's a huge 33.5. I mean, Michigan's going to win this game. They could. I'm going to go with Indiana to cover. I mean, Michigan's going to win, but I would think maybe more of like a 41-17 victory.
Okay.
I don't know, 33.5. Yeah, I'm going to go Indiana to cover, not to win, obviously.
That's fine. Then we have Ohio State against Purdue. Ohio State is a 19.5 point favorite.
That's a big line, too. I don't think Purdue is very good.
It is at Purdue this year, though.
It is at Purdue. Ohio State has not been amazing offensively. They've been a little bit up and down, to be honest with you. And that Notre Dame game doesn't look as good a victory now. I think Purdue covers. I think Ohio State wins, but I think it's something like 35-21.
Okay. I'm going to roll with my Bucks and say they're just going to win outright. So.
Like you do.
Take the points.
Like you do every single time?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then you have Arkansas and Alabama the next game. Bama's a 19.5 point favorite.
What'd you say?
It's a home game for Alabama.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I cut you off.
It's at Alabama.
No, who do you got?
I'll take Bama. Arkansas feels like they've just been underwhelming this year.
I have to ask this question. Do you do any like strategizing, or do you just like pick it and do you like look at the lines or anything? Because it is the last couple weeks. I'm just telling you, you've done this and you can do whatever you want, but it's come back to bite you the last two games. You just not really looked at them that good. There's a couple games you've got. I can point out some games there last week. You got burned pretty bad. Weren't you? No, you were Notre Dame, weren't you?
I believe I was.
Yeah, I don't know. You just and it works sometimes if you get lucky. But I'm just saying, long term, you just look because like 19.5, like you get it. Like, who do I think is going to win? Ohio State, Purdue. Okay, of course Ohio State, but that's a decent line. Michigan's of course going to win, but look at that line, 33.5. That means if Michigan wins 41-10, they don't cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Bama's offense is not that good. I think Bama's going to win. Okay, maybe they cover, but you know they could win 31-14 and they don't cover.
Mm-hmm.
I have Bama picked here, but it's like, I don't know. I might go back and think of that. That's just a big line. It's like 19.5.
You know what? I think I will change the Bama will win, but I think Arkansas will cover.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to change it too. Because that's a big line, and Alabama's offense has been not that impressive.
Speaking of not that impressive, number one, Georgia's going against Vanderbilt.
Now, Vanderbilt, I really do not think is good, and Georgia is obviously good. So I'm going to pick Georgia here, but still 31.5. It's like Georgia could play really well and win 41-10 and not cover. But I'll go Georgia.
I'll pick Vandy to cover.
Now you're changed.
Hey, you want to bring it up? You know what? I'll put Devils in.
No, no. Devil, how's that devil's advocate? I was bringing it up. I'm helping you out. Because I saw you week year after week. You're just like, oh, that they're just picking them. I'm like, are you even looking at these lines? And then I saw the last couple.
I look at some of them, but I don't look at them as much as you do. So I'll admit that.
I try to be as accurate as, like, the Miami-Georgia Tech game.
Oh, remember? My gosh.
No, but that line, I was like, that does. I know Miami. I know Mario Cristobal, and I didn't think they're going to lose the game. But I'm like 19. I'm like, they're not going to cover that.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the game. There's just sometimes you got to. I'm like, sometimes it's just like you got to look at it and be like, I don't know if that makes sense. So,
mm-hmm.
Next one.
Texas A&M and Tennessee. Tennessee is a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, it's at home. Tennessee hasn't been that impressive though. See, I might go look at some advanced stats for a couple of these games. Remember I did that last year?
Mm-hmm. I do remember.
This has to be won by A&M because if they do not win this game, Jimbo Fisher's on the hot seat. But it's at Tennessee. At Tennessee is a pretty difficult place to play. Mm-hmm. I don't feel great about this, but I think I have Tennessee winning and I guess covering because it's 3.5. But I'm going to change my mind on that. I don't know. That's a tough one for me.
I'm going to go with Texas A&M because even though Tennessee, they are 4-1, they haven't looked that impressive this year.
No, lost Florida too.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we'll see what happens for that, but I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for that game because, like you said, if Jimbo loses, he's going to be on the hot seat big time. So,
exactly.
Next game we have is number 23, Kansas and Oklahoma State. Kansas is a 3.5-point favorite. Let's see. Jalen Daniels is doubtful right now.
Hmm.
I mean, this game, if he doesn't play, it's going to be a lot more difficult for them to win. I'm not saying impossible, but when he didn't play before, they struggled a little bit earlier in the year.
They did play good. They did play good last week without him. They beat UCF like by 30 points without him.
I'm going to pick Oklahoma State just because I think Mike Gundy, I don't think he's fighting on the hot seat yet, but I think that they need a signature win. I don't know if they're going to get it, but I'm going to say he's going to cover the 3.5.
Well, Oklahoma State actually looked pretty good last week against Kansas State. they beat Kansas State pretty good. I mean, it final scores by 8 points, but they dominated the game. I think Oklahoma State at home, if Kansas has a back quarterback, I do think Oklahoma State, I think it's either they lose by three or they win by three. And either way, that covers. So I'm having Oklahoma State cover.
Okay. Next game, your favorite game, Oregon and Washington. Battle of the Undefeateds. And let's see, where is it at?
That Washington.
It's Washington. Because I was about to see if I was going to have my curse of Autzen again. So that's why I was checking, sir.
Because you're going to pick Washington.
Honestly, if I do pick Washington, it would be for my daughter. Because my daughter, when Oregon beat Ohio State in the Shoe 2 or 3 years ago, she has never forgiven Oregon since.
That's why you hate Oregon so much. You pick them lose at home all the time.
I think this is going to be one of the best games of the year, honestly.
I think it's going to be pretty good. I hope it's going to be. So who do you got? That's a close spread, too.
2.5 points.
So basically whoever wins is probably going to cover. Well, obviously Oregon would cover, but Washington basically has to win to cover.
I'm not – even though Penix has been doing really well, I'm not convinced that Washington is going to pull this one out. I think Oregon is going to cover, and I think they're going to win.
Ooh, look at you. I do really think this is a great game. Both teams have very, very good offenses. Both teams have very, very good quarterbacks. There's a couple things that, so you'd probably think I blindly am going to pick Oregon. That's not the case. There's a couple things I like for Oregon. There's a couple things I like for Washington. What do I like for Oregon? I think Oregon actually has the better defense. Like, there's actually better guys on Oregon's defense. They're deeper on the defense. If you actually look at advanced stats, they're better at getting at the quarterback. They're better at yards per play. So they actually do have the better defense, but it's on the road. So that's really my big thing for Washington. Washington's a very good home team. It's a very tough place to play. It's loud. And that favors their offense. That favors their defense. It's just that it really is a big plus in Washington's favor. Now, of the last seven times these teams played each other, the road team has won four times. I am going to go with Oregon, but I didn't just want to blindly do it. And I do think it's going to be a pretty close game. I think what it boils down to is I think Oregon's defense is going to make a couple more plays than Washington's defense. And I just think I trust Oregon's defense better. I don't feel amazing about this pick because it's at Washington. If it was at Oregon, I'd feel better. But at Washington, Washington will be tough. But I have Oregon. They cover because it's close. But it's like 35-31. It'll be a close game.
So my question for you is this simply. If Oregon wins, is this going to be kind of the welcoming party for Bodacious for Heisman?
Oh, if they win. It's
going to be like the signature game.
If they win because of Bo, he could end up being the favorite. Especially like, say, if USC, well, we're going to have that game on here. If USC loses to Notre Dame and Bo Nix beats Michael Penix in Washington, yeah, probably Bo Nix would probably be the favorite, I would think. Because I think they're top three, right?
I believe so. I have to go back to Heisman.
Yeah, I think top three are those guys. So I think it's in that order. I think it's Caleb, Penix, Nix. But then if Nix wins and Caleb loses. And honestly, USC, we'll talk about them. They don't look very good.
Mm-hmm. That is true indeed. Although the next game we have is Louisville, fresh off their win against the Irish going against Pittsburgh. Louisville's only a 7.5 point favorite, though.
At Pitt.
Yeah, true. May not. I understand that the Pitt crowd's going to be worth something, but I think Louisville's going to blow them out.
Yeah. Louisville's pretty good, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. When I saw that game for Notre Dame at the beginning of the year, I'm like, I don't like that game. When I did Notre Dame's schedule before the season, I picked them to Louisville because I saw where it was after Ohio State. It was before USC. I'm like, that just looks like a game they'd lose. And they did, and they lost by a lot. It wasn't that close a game. And Louisville's pretty good. They got a quarterback pretty good, experienced quarterback, a really good run game, a really good running back. Louisville's a low-key, like, dark horse ACC title game type team. Yeah, I got Louisville. I like Louisville.
Yeah.
I like their stadium, too. Card Stadium. It's a cool stadium.
That is definitely true. Then the next game we have is Auburn going against LSU.
Me picking? You. Or you?
You go ahead.
Okay. Auburn is – the LSU is 11.5-point favorite. And LSU does not have much of a defense, do they? Auburn doesn't have a great offense. This is an interesting game. So it's strength on strength, weakness on weakness. I think LSU will win, but I totally see this being like a 38, 28, 34, 20. I think Auburn covers somehow. Like, I believe LSU wins, but I think Auburn finds a way to cover. Maybe Auburn even wins. I don't really trust LSU this year. What do you
I do think Auburn's going to cover. I'm not sure if they're going to win, but I mean, Hugh Freeze, I think this is going to be, this could be, if they can pull it out, it would be a big win for him in his first year being there.
Yeah. So, they might win.
I mean, I'm not as confident about it, but it's definitely a game I'm curious to see how it ends up this weekend.
Yeah, me too.
Next one, we have Washington State going against Arizona. Washington State is an 8.5-point favorite. I think Arizona's going to cover just watching how they were against USC. I mean, I don't know if you stayed up and watched that game, but I know you heard. I mean, you saw.
They should have won.
I was watching. They should have. They should have. I mean, that play where they decided to rush for the last play of the game, that was, I disagreed with that, but you know what? I mean, they played a heck of a game against USC. They fought them tooth and nail, so.
Should have won. We're ahead 17-0.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona
cover. What do you got?
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree with you, but I don't know if I love it because Washington State is really good at home. Like Washington – oh, that was a game last week. You all picked Washington State over UCLA. And I'm like, Washington State's a total different team on the road. They've been like that for the last 10 years, starting going back to Mike Leach's year. They'll beat Oregon and USC and all the good teams. They'll beat the Palouse. But then when they go on the road, they'll lose like sometimes to like not a very good team.
Mm-hmm.
This is at the Palouse. But Arizona – almost played Washington good, should almost be USC. It feels like they got some momentum. Now they are going back to Jaden Delora. And I actually like that backup quarterback better. You know what? I on the fly, I'm going to change. I think Washington State covers because I talked myself out of it. I originally had Arizona covering, but I think Washington State covers.
Okay.
Yeah. And wins, obviously.
Gonna be a good name. It's gonna be a good game no matter what. That's the main thing. So we have Kentucky and Missouri next. It's a 2.5-point favorite. I think Kentucky's going to cover and win just because I think after the beating they had last week, I think they're going to want to basically beat the crap out of Missouri to kind of make up for it.
So I don't think Kentucky's very good. And while Missouri's not amazing, Missouri could have won that game against LSU last week. They led most of the game. And I kind of got a backdoor cover on that with a last second pick six. I wasn't going to cover otherwise.
I saw that.
Missouri has some really good weapons on offense. Now, Kentucky's a pretty good defense, but I think Missouri's going to make some plays on offense. I just am not that impressed. I think Kentucky's offense is, you have a pretty good running back. I think Devin O'Leary has been very inconsistent throwing the ball this year. I think Missouri wins.
Okay. Hey, we agree to disagree. That's a good thing. I mean, hey, that's how we always find out who does better when we check everything. Now we have Miami and North Carolina.
Who's first? Who's got this one first?
I'm going to let you go. Go ahead.
Okay, so I know Mario Cristobal. He's been the when he was a coach at Oregon. He will lose or almost lose to teams like Georgia Tech. Or like when he was at Oregon, it'd be like Arizona State or Stanford or someone that's just average. But then he'll go and beat a team that's really good. But Mario's teams when he was at Oregon were never amazing on the road. They usually would do that kind of stuff at home. They did beat USC the 2 years actually at USC. This is kind of a torn between because I think right now people just saw what Mario did and they want to poo-poo him and they're automatically just going to be like UNC is going to win and cover. But it's obviously a 3.5. It's at UNC and it's a 3.5 spread. That's not a lot. That means on a neutral site. So just so you know, home games is about 3 to 4 points. So on a neutral site, these teams would be even. So like Oregon versus Washington, Oregon would be like a 1 point favorite or 2 point favorite on a neutral site. This is basically they say it's even, but it favors North Carolina because at North Carolina, I do like how North Carolina is playing. Drake May is one of the best quarterbacks. Miami does have a good defense. North Carolina's defense looks better. Miami's offense is very inconsistent. They can run the ball a little bit, but they have still trouble throwing the ball. Oh, man, I don't feel great about this one. I guess I'm going to say UNC wins by a touchdown. I think it's a really close game. I could actually see Miami pulling off the, I guess, a slight upset, but I guess I'll go with UNC for now. Might change my mind.
I'm picking UNC also, honestly. I looked at trying to pick Miami, and it just, after last week, I just can't really trust them. That's a problem.
I'd
want to, but it's just not there. The next game we have is UCLA at Oregon State. UCLA is a 4.5-point dog. I'm picking Oregon State. I mean, like you say, Corvallis, that's a tough place to play. And I don't really see them losing at home.
Yeah, that probably the thing that does, that's like UCLA's pretty good. They're pretty good defensively. They definitely looked good last week against Washington State. Honestly, if it wasn't for their sorry offense, they played pretty much Utah even at home. But at Oregon State, it's a pretty tough place to play. And that's a freshman quarterback who has been a little inconsistent. And I think he's going to make a couple mistakes. And that's tough to overcome on the road. I think it's a pretty close game. I think it's like 7 or 10 points. But, yeah, I think Oregon State wins, and I do think they cover.
All right. Now the last and possibly the most difficult game to pick on, USC and Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a 2.5-point favorite. I mean, it feels like the last two games that they really played, the last two big games they played, when it was against Ohio State and against Louisville, it felt like they didn't show up, and like for Louisville, Lord. Ohio State, that was a good game, but against Louisville, it's like they just couldn't do anything right. That's kind of how it felt like.
Yeah.
That being said, I think that they're going to be able to show up against USC. I'm going to pick them to win.
And cover.
And cover, yes.
Yeah, this one's really difficult for me because kind of like what you said, like they had the bruising stretch of playing, you know, Ohio State, Duke, and Louisville. And they lost a heartbreaker, won the Duke game within the last minute. They came back, converted the fourth down. And then, yeah, they weren't there last week at Louisville. I do think at home against their arch nemesis, like USC is their arch nemesis. They always play USC. I think they will show up. USC, like they literally have a terrible defense. I mean, this is just just silly how bad this defense is. These guys are terrible. But Notre Dame doesn't have like this amazing offense. Whereas Notre Dame has a pretty good defense. They didn't lose the game last week even to you saw 33 and you're like, well, they did get run on a little bit, but they're out in the field a lot. And Notre Dame's offense turned the ball over 5 times. Mm-hmm. So when your offense is turning the ball over, you're out in the field a bunch, that conventionally on the road, that takes a toll on you. Notre Dame still is pretty good defensively. But USC, for the most part, is pretty good. Even though their offense the last couple weeks against Arizona State and then against last week against Arizona in the first half, their offense at time, if you were able to keep Caleb bottled up, like they were struggling to run and they were trouble converting. I mean, they had like 3 3-and-outs to start the game. So USC's offense has not looked so invincible the last couple weeks. Long story short, I think Notre Dame is able to do enough offensively and stop them enough. And I think eventually USC, like, you can't just look, they just are not a great looking team. Caleb Williams is a great player. They have some talented skill guys, but they are not a good defense. And they just, through 6 games, they've not played good teams at all for the most part. Arizona's okay, but all the rest of the teams are just not very good. And they still have been giving up like 28 and 40 and like, yeah, it's going to catch up to them. Notre Dame wins this one. It's close. I think it's like, I don't know. What do I have the final score? I have it being 66 points. I don't know what I had it being. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe 34, 24. I don't know what I thought. Oh, that's not 66. I don't know what I think. 38 to 28, something like that.
I have mine at 85 right now. So
really?
Something like 45 to 42.
See, if it got that high, I wouldn't like Notre Dame's chances. Yeah, like 38 to 28 even feels a little high to me. Like, if it gets higher than 60s, I don't think they win a shootout with USC. Because I think USC's, they have the better quarterback for sure. And I think they have the better overall skill talent. I think they need to have the game be a little lower than that to win, in my opinion.
Okay. That's fair. All right. Well, I know
Is Bob going to jump on for 5 seconds or is he not? If he jumped on, I'd talk about Liberty with him because he was actually working the Liberty game.
Yeah, let's see, because I know he's been busy today. What did you think of that game last night?
Liberty looked, I mean, so they played last Thursday and Tuesday. So they played twice, twice in 5 days. Did you see both games?
I did not see the first game, but I was able to watch a game last night. And I mean, I was in some ways, I was terrified only because remember how last week we had Jacksonville State while we were talking and we watched them erase a, like, 18-point deficit and come back and win. So I was really wondering how Liberty's defense would step up. And I mean, They showed out, honestly. I mean, it was great.
Yeah, Liberty's been funny this year. There are three road games. Liberty's won by 28, 32, and 18. And the teams they've beaten are not terrible. FIU, obviously Jacksonville State's pretty good, and even Buffalo's okay. At home, Liberty barely won against a team that had not won any games. They actually needed a last-second pass breakup at the three-yard line. Sam Houston State, if they scored a touchdown, we're going to win. And Sam Houston State is terrible. They're not a good team. They have not won any games. And then I also saw Liberty play the first game against Bowling Green. And if it wasn't for Bowling Green throwing, like, I don't know, two pick sixes, like, I think they threw a pick six and another one that was, like, picked and taken into the goal line. Liberty only won by 10 and honestly was, in some ways, like, did not totally control that game. And New Mexico State, they did beat by 16. But long story short, Jamie Chadwell has the magic on the road. He clearly gets them ready for road games. I just wonder if why they don't show up to that extent at home. Because the teams that I've seen play all their games on the road has been an absolutely dominating Conference USA team. The team that I've seen play at Williams Stadium has been a little more of, like, you know, a little bit more wait and see, and there's still some things they need to work on. Long story short, they're 6-0, and as long as they can keep playing like they are on the road and start playing a little bit better at home, Like, it's funny because Western Kentucky is probably their toughest game yet. And you're like, well, it's at Western Kentucky. I'm like, good. This Liberty team, they play better on the road. So good. I'm glad they're. So,
I mean, I was glad to see how that was because I know that Jacksonville State normally has been a second half team. And so that was why at the beginning of the second half, when you saw Liberty get ahead.
I knew that. The way that game was trending, there's a few things that I knew that they weren't going to come back. For one, Jacksonville State's lost its starting quarterback, its backup quarterback who did share, then all of a sudden was out too. So they were on a third string quarterback. I had a feeling with a third string quarterback that probably wasn't going to happen. Also, how the second half was playing out. Are you thirsty there or what?
A little bit. A little bit, sir.
You're funny. This, what was I saying? Like usually someone takes some of your guts, like, you know, you're like a donkey or a camel and not drank for like 5 years. What was I gonna say?
You were talking about the starting quarterback
not just that, but the second half, Liberty almost had the ball the whole entire time. They were running the ball down their throat, like 75 yards, 65, like 5, 6, 8, 10. Like, it was just, that's not, when you're getting run off line of scrimmage, your offense is being left on the sidelines, your defense is being hanging out to dry and just being out on the field for too many plays, and you're on a third string quarterback. I didn't think they're going to come back. At half, it was a close game. The first half, at times, I thought Jacksonville State actually looked better in the first half. Like, at the beginning of the game, Jacksonville State looked better than Liberty. But once that quarterback went out, and then they were just, like, doing these 5, 6, 7 minute drives. Yeah, I knew that Jacksonville State wasn't going to come back for this one.
True, and I mean, we'll see how it goes for the – they play the Hilltoppers next Tuesday, right?
No, this next Tuesday they're playing at Liberty. Join in on CBS, and they play against Middle Tennessee State, and then the next week after that they play Western Kentucky. And like I said, that's probably their toughest game left. And normally I'd be like, shoot, it's on the road, but no, they're pretty good on the road. Maybe we should watch out for 2-5 Middle Tennessee State at home.
I mean, we'll see. I'll pick Liberty for that game, definitely. And I did just message Bob. Unfortunately, he is not going to be able to make it with us tonight. But do you remember that tweet he sent both of us about the trivia?
Yeah.
He says he's already got the questions ready for us a different day so that we can see who does better on that.
Okay. I got
so,
that.
So that'll be something that we can look at for another time. But I know that you've had a long day, sir, and I do appreciate the time.
Sorry, and, I was bemoaning it at the beginning. I didn't know you were alive. Can you go back and, well, you can't change the live. You can edit the podcast.
Well, it could be worse. Hey, I understand, and that was why for me, I just wanted to, that's why I tried to make this painless as possible for you tonight, sir.
Yeah,
so.
I'm just so used to jumping on and you're not, haven't started the thing yet. That's like the first time I've ever jumped on in the middle. I think that's the first time I've ever jumped on in the middle. Yeah.
Well, yeah, what it is I was able to have my computer was on early today, so I made sure I could get it started right on time.
So one day I get on, I'm like all irritated. Like, I don't have much time. But yeah, so it's a good week. Hopefully Oregon wins. Hopefully Notre Dame beats USC. And yeah, it's a pretty good week. How many top 25 matchups are there? There's 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's four top 25 matchups. And then you got games like that's about it. Those top four. Oh, Texas A&M, Tennessee is a good game. That's not a top 25 game. That's about it. Missouri, Kentucky is a pretty good game, not top 25. But for the most part, there's the four top 25 games, and then there's you know, a bunch of other games. So, but you got a great Oregon Washington game. That's definitely the headliner this week, which I'm cool with.
Yeah, I'm sorry Chris couldn't get on with us right now because I know that you and him talking, that would have been a lot of fun to watch.
Is he jumping on later?
I'm not sure if he is, but I did message him. He said he was going to try, but I guess it didn't work out. It was still worth it because
we already know who he's picking.
Of course.
You know what? I won't always pick my team. If I really don't think they're going to win, I'm not going to pick them.
I mean, that's why for me, like I said, I'm conflicted about the game because I do think Oregon's going to win, but I think that it depends on how Penix does because
it's not Washington.
I mean, with how he is, like if he has a bad game, sure, some they'll be able to pull it off against other teams. They've been able to pull it off and win, but against Oregon, I don't think it's gonna. If that happens, it's not gonna be as easy.
If he has a bad game,
yeah.
Oh no.
Because I mean, you know that there's no way, three picks. So
he did.
I thought in one of the games he did.
Michael Penix?
Yeah?
No, I don't think so. You don't watch your West Coast. Remember you did that about Knicks, too? You're like, yeah, Knicks has made some picks. And then you had to look it up, and I'm like, no, he's not throwing picks. I know it's Seth. I believe Michael Penix has not. He maybe has thrown one interception in the year.
Okay.
Two interceptions. And they were not in the same game. He threw one against Cal, and he threw one against Tulsa.
And it didn't
impact the game at all. Don't be making up these picks for these guys, man.
Maybe he lost the fumble. I thought that there was one game he had had where he had had, like, two turnovers.
No, he's played pretty good in every game.
Okay. Because for some reason, I thought when I was watching either college football final or it was on SportsCenter, they had said like he had two turnovers. But
yeah,
you know
Michael,
what?
Michael Penix and Bo Nix have been pretty good this year. I think it's 16 touchdowns and two interceptions for Penix. It's 15 touchdowns and one interception for Nix. And yeah, they've been pretty consistent. They have not turned the ball over. They've been pretty good players. And I'm not a Washington fan, so it's not like I'm sitting here trying to defend my team. But he's been a pretty good player. But yeah, if either one does not play well, either quarterback doesn't play well. If the other quarterback does, then that's you know who wins.
Mm-hmm.
Now if they both don't play well, which I highly doubt. Then who knows? They both don't play well. And then there's a circumstance where they both play really well, which I think if I was a betting man, I would be shocked if it's not at least a solid performance by both, I could totally see these two very experienced fifth year. I mean, these guys are, mm-hmm. these guys aren't just brand new. These guys are 23 year old, fifth year seniors. Yeah, I could totally see them both just completely balling out and this being a rodeo.
Yeah.
Which I mean, that, I hope so. In that case, I think if it became a straight up rodeo where you're just like touchdown, 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 I don't love Oregon in that because Washington is the home team and I don't love it. Where I see Oregon is I do think maybe Penix makes a turnover, like throws a pick. And or Oregon makes a couple really good stops, or Oregon forces like a special teams, like little things like that is how I mm-hmm. think drives the score down, and that's how you win on the road.
One question for you that I saw for that was on the game last night.
Cool.
Did you see the stat about the Colorado quarterbacks from last year to this year?
Hmm.
Colorado quarterbacks last year threw for 2,075 yards in 12 games. Mm-hmm. In this year, in six games in this year, they've already thrown for 2,020 yards.
So same.
In half the time, so.
Not surprising.
That's just something that I thought you as a football fan would appreciate. I'm not saying you ever have to root for Colorado, but that they're actually showing some improvement this year, that's a plus.
Oh, I mean, they have. I mean, you know what Colorado's record last year was? 1-11.
1-12.
1-11? Yeah, 1-11. Guess this year, they're 4-2. So, I mean, even if they end up just – let's say they don't win another game, they improved. But let's say they win a game or two more, they end up 6-6. That's a very good job by Deion in his first year.
So. And he'd be bowl eligible too, which wouldn't be a bad thing. So,
yeah, and you know that bowl game will sell tickets and we'll have viewers. So it'll be even if it's the Boot Bowl, it's Deion and they're in a bowl. So
that is true. But well, sir, if we were going to try to get a hold of you afterwards, where would we find you on social media?
Sorry, I'm really tired now. At the Turner Cast. Let's go. Let's go, Ducks. Go, Flames.
All righty, sir. Thank you again. We will see you another time, all right?
I see you, dude.
All righty. That was Tyler Turner from the Turner Cast, and we appreciate him coming on and giving us some time tonight. So as I was talking about before Tyler came on, defensive back, Greg Brooks Jr., he had to have surgery on September 15th to remove a tumor that was located between his cerebellum and his brainstem. And as they were doing that, they did not find out till later on, but he had learned that it is, unfortunately, a rare form of brain cancer. And I know that I speak for myself and that I hope that he's able to not only beat this, but also maybe even play football, even if it's just one play. But he has been diagnosed with medulloblastoma, which usually it's found in children, and apparently it affects between 350 and 500 people in the U.S. This is according to ESPN. So apparently now he has been moved to St. Jude Research Hospital. So he is apparently going to need another surgery to prepare for the next challenge as he battles cancer. So, for Greg Brooks, we thoughts and prayers for him and hope that everything can go as well as possible for him. They do say that Travis Hunter for Colorado, he should be back. He missed three games because of his he was lacerated liver against Colorado State. And so he would be good for him to come back for that. And apparently on social media, Travis Hunter and the player that hit him, they went bowling together and they did something for charity. So that would be something to look at as well. We're going to see how this weekend goes for a lot of these games. And for Ohio State, I know Trevion Henderson's supposed to be back. Me and Tyler were talking about how the quarterback for Kansas, he's doubtful. We're going to see how that goes just because for him, he could be the make or break for how they do, which that could be very interesting. Now, the games that we have last week, quick recap, Ohio State beat Maryland 37-17. Kentucky was blown out by Georgia 51-13. Michigan blew out Minnesota 52-10. Oklahoma upset Texas in the Red River rivalry 34-30, scoring a game-winning touchdown with under 20 seconds left to go. Florida State beat Virginia 39-17. USC and Arizona had the game of the night, which literally went into Sunday morning when they beat Arizona in triple overtime 43-41. USC's defense was able to stop Arizona on their 2-point conversion when they tried to run it and were pushed back, so that ended the game pretty quickly. Louisville upset Notre Dame 33-20. Alabama beat Texas A&M 26-20. UCLA beat Washington State 25-17. North Carolina beat Syracuse 40-7. Oregon State beat California 52-40. Ole Miss beat Arkansas 27-20. Georgia Tech beat Miami 23-20. After Miami, when they should have taken a knee, decided to run the ball and they fumbled it. Georgia Tech recovered and they were able to take the ball and score a game-winning touchdown. LSU beat Missouri 49-39. And Wyoming beat Fresno State 24-19. They ended the second longest win streak in the nation at 14 games. Georgia still has the longest win streak. And we will see if they can keep that up this week. Just another recap of the top 25 games coming up for this week. We have number 3 Ohio State against Purdue. We have number 1 Georgia against Vanderbilt at Vanderbilt. We have Michigan against Indiana. Well, these games are 12 noon. Ohio State's on Peacock. Michigan's on Fox. Syracuse is going to be playing Florida State at Florida State, 12 noon on ABC. Alabama is going to play Arkansas at home on ESPN. 3 o'clock games, we have Utah going against California at Utah at 3 on the Pac-12 network. 3:30, we have Penn State going against UMass at Beaver Stadium on the Big Ten network. We have Oregon going against Washington at Seattle at 3:30 on ABC. At 3:30 on CBS, we have Tennessee going against Texas A&M at Tennessee. At 3:30 on FS1, we have Kansas going against Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State. At 6:30 on the CW, we have Louisville going against Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh. At 7 o'clock on the Pac-12 network, we have Arizona going against number 19 Washington State at Pullman. At 7 on ESPN, we have Alabama going against LSU at Death Valley. At 7:30 on NBC and Peacock, we have USC going against Notre Dame at South Bend again. At 7:30 on ABC, we have Miami going against North Carolina, pardon me, at Chapel Hill. On SEC Network, 7:30, we have Kentucky going against Missouri at Kentucky. At 8 o'clock on Fox, we have Oregon State going against UCLA at Oregon State. And then at 8 o'clock on ACC Network, we have Duke going against NC State at Duke Stadium. Wallace Wade. So that's your roundup of the top 25 games that we have coming up for this weekend. Now, for other college sports, we did have some news in regards to baseball. Japanese high school phenom Rintaro Sasaki, instead of him playing Nippon professional basketball, he is going to come here to America and play baseball, which that should be interesting to see what happens. And it turns out that he has gone to the same school as Shohei Ohtani. So that could be very interesting indeed. And Charlie Baker, the NCAA president, and the Big Ten commissioner, Tony Petitti, are scheduled to testify at a Senate hearing about the future of college sports next week because they're trying to figure out how they want to control the NIL and just how not only athletes make money, but how they want to see how the NCAA can try to regulate that. But it just, unfortunately, it's disappointing because this is going to be a 10th time college sports leagues have been called to Capitol Hill since 2020, which they, once the NIL opened up, the NCAA wasn't prepared to cover it and make sure that it would be all set. But regrettably, they did not do enough to try to set it up. And because of that, now they're paying for it and how they're having to do the NIL and how they're having to try to focus on regulating the players and how they're, instead of trying to focus on the players, only focusing on the money, which I understand partially why they're doing that, but for the North Carolina player who was finally allowed to have his eligibility restored after transferring to North Carolina, being the second school he's transferred to, instead of the NCAA trying to say that, hey, we made a mistake, they blasted North Carolina and said that they did not give them enough information, which unfortunately, I don't believe that's correct. I believe the NCAA, as usual right now, they just dropped the ball, and instead of accepting that they messed up, they decided that they wanted to try to come out looking like they were the better institution, whereas when you've been watching this information that's happened, you have seen time and again that when it comes to different situations, when they're not prepared, they err on the side of, well, we're going to punish the person instead of trying to figure out exactly what needs to be done. And if it doesn't suit them, they're going to make sure that they will find a way for it to suit them, which unfortunately, now all that's done has just been a pain in the butt and has made them look even worse than they could be at times. That being said, We're just going to have to see how it plays out and what other changes they're going to make in regards to NIL, transfer portal, and just some of the sports in general. While I'm here, let's go to the D1 women's volleyball rankings and go through them. We have Wisconsin number one with a perfect 15-0 record. Nebraska's number two with a perfect 15-0 record. Stanford's number three with a record of 13-2. Washington State's number four with a record of 15-2. Oregon's number five with a record of 15-2. Louisville's number six with a record of 14-2. Texas is number seven with a record of 11-3. Pittsburgh's number eight with a record of 15-2. BYU's number nine with a record of 14-3. Tennessee's number 10 with a record of 15-1. Georgia Tech is number 11 with a record of 14-2. Arkansas is number 12 with a record of 15-2. Penn State's number 13 with a record of 12-3. Florida's number 14 with a record of 12-3. Purdue's number 15 with a record of 10-5. Kansas number 16 with a record of 12-4. Creighton's number 17 with a record of 13-4. Dayton's number 18 with a record of 18-2. Arizona State's number 19 with a record of 17-1. Baylor's number 20 with a record of 8-7. Houston's number 21 with a record of 9-5. Auburn's number 22 with a record of 14-3. Kentucky's number 23 with a record of 7-7. Minnesota's number 24 with a record of 6-8. And Iowa State rounds out the top 25 with a record of 13-3. So that's for volleyball. Let's go ahead and take a look at a few of the other sports. Let's check on field hockey real quick. Field hockey, you have Duke at number one with a record of 12-1. Northwestern's number two with a record of 12-1. North Carolina's number three with a record of 9-2. Louisville's number four with a record of 11-1. Liberty's number five with a record of 12-1. Rutgers is number six with a record of 12-0. Virginia's number seven with a record of 7-5. Iowa's number eight with a record of 10-2. Harvard's number nine with a record of 9-3. Boston College is number 10 with a record of 8-5. Ohio State's number 11 with a record of 12-3. Maryland's number 12 with a record of 10-3. Syracuse is number 13 with a record of 9-3. UMass has a record of 8-6 and number 14. St. Joseph's is number 15 with a record of 10-4. Michigan's number 16 with a record of 6-6. Princeton's number 17 with a record of 5-7. Fairfield's number 18 with a record of 9-2. Lake Forest is number 19 with a record of 5-6. Penn State's number 20 with a record of 6-5. The University of Albany is number 21 with a record of 9-3. UMass Lowell is number 22 with a record of 10-3. LaSalle is number 23 with a record of 9-4. Cornell is number 24 with a record of 8-3. And Penn rounds out the top 25 with a record of 6-6. So that was the top 25 for field hockey. Men's soccer, you have Marshall number one with a perfect 11-0 record. You have UCF number two with a 6-1-2 record. You have Akron number three with a record of 8-0-4. You have Wake Forest number four with a record of 8-1-3. You have Georgetown number five with a record of 8-1-1. You have SMU number six with a record of 8-1-2. You have West Virginia number seven with a record of 8-0-4. You have Notre Dame number eight with a record of 7-1-3. You have Stanford number nine with a record of 6-1-3. Syracuse is number 10 with a record of 6-2-3. Pitt's number 11 with a record of 5-3-3. Northwestern's number 12 with a record of 9-0-3. Cal State's Fullerton's number 13 with a record of 10-2-2. North Carolina's number 14 with a record of 5-1-4. Duke's number 15 with a record of 6-3-1. Missouri State's number 16 with a record of 6-1-3. Portland's number 17 with a record of 6-3-0. Foster's number 18 with a record of 9-1-3. Michigan State's number 19 with a record of 6-0-4. Seattle's number 20 with a record of 7-2-3. Clemson's number 21 with a record of 8-3-1. Vermont's number 22 with a record of 8-2-2. Florida International's number 23 with a record of 6-2-3. New Hampshire's number 24 with a record of 6-1-4. And St. Louis rounds out the top 25 with a record of 6-3-2. Go ahead and jump over to women's soccer real quick. This way, since we have a little bit of time, we can go through all the rankings just because, well, with how college football goes, we don't always have a lot of time to do this, so let's take advantage of the time we have, shall we? Florida State for women's soccer is ranked number 1 with a record of 10-0-1. Stanford's number 2 with a record of 12-0-1. North Carolina's number 3 with a record of 9-0-5. Penn State's number 4 with a record of 11-0-2. UCLA's number 5 with a record of 11-1. Texas Tech is number 6 with a record of 12-0-3. Clemson's number 7 with a record of 10-1-3. BYU's number 8 with a record of 11-1-3. Memphis is number 9 with a record of 10-1-0. Arkansas is number 10 with a record of 9-3-1. Notre Dame's number 11 with a record of 9-1-3. Wisconsin's number 12 with a record of 9-2-3. Southern California is number 13 with a record of 9-2-0. Santa Clara is number 14 with a record of 9-2-2. South Carolina is number 15 with a record of 9-1-4. Brown's number 16 with a record of 8-1-2. Pitt's number 17 with a record of 11-2-1. Kentucky's number 18 with a record of 8-0-5. Xavier's number 19 with a record of 10-2-3. Michigan State's number 20 with a record of 9-3-2. TCU's number 21 with a record of 9-4-2. Georgetown's number 22 with a record of 7-1-6. Duke's number 23 with a record of 5-4-3. Alabama's number 24 with a record of 8-3-4. And Indiana rounds out the top 25 with a record of 10-1-3. So that is women's soccer. Let's see. Now, another sport that we do have is water polo. And, well, water polo looks like we have UCLA number 1, Cal number 2, U.S. Southern Cal number 3, Stanford number 4, Pepperdine University number 5, Princeton number 6, Long Beach State University number 7, UC Davis number 8, UC Irvine number 9, UC San Diego number 10, UC Santa Barbara number 11, University of Pacific number 12, San Jose State number 13, Loyola Marymount number 14, Santa Clara University number 15, Cal Baptist University number 16, Fordham University number 17, Brown University number 18, Navy number 19, and Harvard rounds out the top 20. So for water polo, they only go to the top 20. Right now, for the last sport that we have for the men, we have is cross country. And we have Northern Arizona at number 1, Oklahoma State number 2, BYU number 3, Wisconsin number 4, North Carolina number 5, Syracuse number 6, Villanova number 7, Air Force number 8, Notre Dame number 9, Virginia number 10, Texas number 11, Butler number 12, Stanford number 13, California Baptist number 14, Eastern Kentucky number 15, Harvard number 16, Tennessee number 17, Wake Forest number 18, Florida State number 19, Colorado number 20, Arkansas number 21, Alabama number 22, Gonzaga number 23, Iowa State tied with them at number 23, and Iona round out the top 25. And that's for the men's cross country. And let's look at the women real quick. We have NC State number one, Northern Arizona number two, Oklahoma State number three, Notre Dame number four, Stanford number five, BYU number six, UVA number seven, Washington number eight, Florida number nine, Colorado number 10, Georgetown number 11, California Baptist number 12, Iowa State number 13, Alabama number 14, Michigan State also number 14, as is Providence, Oregon's number 17, Furman's number 18, Arkansas's number 19, Utah's number 20, North Carolina's number 21, Ole Miss's number 22, Wisconsin's number 23, Utah Valley's number 24, Syracuse round out the top 25. And so as we're going through the top 25 rankings of all the sports, we will end where we have begun with college football. We have Georgia number one, Michigan number two, Ohio State number three, Florida State number four, Oklahoma State number five, Penn State number six, Washington State number seven, Oregon number eight, Texas number nine, the first school that has a loss. Southern Cal's perfect number 10. Alabama's number 11 at 5-1. North Carolina's undefeated at number 12. Ole Miss is number 13 at 5-1. Louisville's undefeated number 14. Oregon State's 5-1 at number 15. Utah's number 16 at 4-1. Duke's number 17 at 4-1. UCLA's number 18 at 4-1. Washington State and Tennessee are both tied at 19 and 4-1. Notre Dame's number 21 at 5-2. LSU's number 22 at 4-2. Kansas number 23 at 5-1. Kentucky's number 24 at 5-1. And Miami ends up at 4-1, rounding out the top 25. Well, that about wraps it up for our show this time. If you do want to try to see what I would post, you're welcome to. I'm on Twitter, Alan F. West, or Instagram and Facebook, alan.west.46. Be sure to tune in to the Jersey Boys tomorrow. This has been the Top 25 Rundown. Have a great week, everybody.